from White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. When logic and proportion have fallen sloppy dead, and the White Knight is talking backwards, and the Red Queen's off with her head, remember what the Dormouse said. Feed your head. Feed your head. This is Gothic. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast may contain material not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, Sojourners, and welcome back to another, for us anyway, Wednesday night.
Woo! Or perhaps for you. There's no law against listening to it on Wednesday nights.
This is my deep Fern Happen radio voice. It's night, and all the moves are night moves. All the mavens have been seeing a fish. Not romantically, just they're seeing it there on a bench down at the waterfront. It's a fairly large fish. It's got some lovely silver scales.
I actually learned recently there is a type of fish whose scientific name is Boops. Boops.
Well, this is not a boops boops. This fish, not any particular species of fish that you know of at all, in fact, has been chatting with you about the apocalypse and about what you are going to need to do in order to sort of put a stop to the cult activity that is currently plaguing Lazarus Bay. As the breeze picks up, as leaves blow around the waterfront here at Lazarus Bay, as the last of the fishing boats pull into their moorings, and as the last of the light fades from the reflective clouds above, do you have any questions for the fish?
How are we going to become cats?
Well, hey now, you know, that's just a good question, ain't it? I suppose you're probably going to have to do some research.
Where do we find out how to become cats?
Well, there's got to be some real good, like, supernatural research and materials here in this here town of Lazarus Bay.
So we need to find some, like, occult books on how to transmogrify, I think is the word?
Hey, you know the word. The fish turns as if to look at a camera and goes, "Hey, kids, learning is fun.
And don't smoke.
And stay in school.
Don't start forest fires with your meth."
Oh, my God.
The fish turns back.
Where do you suggest we begin?
Probably Fizzies.
Well, that'd be great if you could get into Fizzies.
I was just going to say, this whole reason is to get us in there in the first place.
Well, I think they're down underneath it. Maybe we could get into the
upper
normal part. Yeah,
but also
there's that no good bookshoppy.
I don't know if we'll be able to do covert research there. The proprietor seems like the kind of gentleman who would read over a lady's shoulder as she was inspecting a tome. What about the library?
Well, you all just do what you need to do. I'll be waiting if you need my help with anything. You just yell out, "Hey, fish."
Yes, like like suggestions of where to begin our research. Hey, fish. Suggestions of where to begin our research.
I absolutely encourage you to use the brains that the great sky fish gave you.
Okay, thanks, Flippy.
Oh, you know, you'd think a fish that could show us things that happened in the past outside the town and tell us about vast conspiracies and sit on a bench smoking a cigar. Don't smoke, kids, by the way. It's terrible for you.
You definitely shouldn't smoke, kids.
But you can smoke some fish. Yummy.
On that note, the wind blows, the leaves swirl around, and the fish is gone.
Oh, yes. Real helpful.
What do you do?
Well, it's surely got to be past open hours at Galen's ye old bookshoppy, so I bet we could just, you know, find our way in.
Oh, sure, yes, absolutely. I bet he has a security system, though. We're going to have to bypass that.
All right, so you would like to try to break into the bookshoppy?
I think so.
I was just imagining going, this is just like the time that Amanda Delacourt needed to transmogrify herself into...
If this is the case, how do you prepare for this?
Well, if there's a security system, I might need to go back to my workshop and grab some halon gas.
Okay, what is that used for? I'll come with you.
It disables the infrared cameras.
That's fascinating. I was just going to bring my pair of shears and... cut some cables until the cameras died?
Oh, that might work too. We could just cut power to the building.
The whole build? Okay. Yes, let's do that. Do I have a flashlight? I probably have a flashlight. I live on a boat.
Indeed.
We are at the docks too. That's where the fish was.
Let's stop by my place and get my shears and my flashlight.
We cut over to the Murder Mavens theme music and intro scenes for the show. What do we see this time as your characters are doing cozy things, maybe even solving mystery things around Lazarus Bay?
I love the idea of Rosanna, just because it's hilarious, using her old library card to try and jimmy a door with the other two's watching intently. She's using a library card to jimmy open a door.
Yeah.
and it snaps in half. And she's like, well, I guess I'm not going to the library anymore.
You start pulling out your Blockbuster card to try that instead.
Rummages around in the purse, pulls out a couple of different cards. Not the credit card, nope. Blockbuster, and starts using that.
Well, I was thinking since the show's getting weird, I am pulling in a fish. And I haul this fish up over the side of the boat, and the camera just zooms in on it, and instead of like a fish-shaped skull, it has a human-shaped skull under the fish skin.
I think that we would see Winifred doing like a demonstration of a combo, you know, Ben Franklin and the key on a kite experiment with like making a gadget spin that was also like attached to the key. So, like, she puts a stake in the string and launches the kite, and lightning strikes the key and activates the gadget, which is electrically powered, of course. And then we kind of flash to where she's driven a stake into the ground to anchor this whole thing, and we see sort of wisps of purple and black smoke wafting up out of the ground.
Okay. And as we come back from that, we are on board Olivia's boat. What is a feature of the boat that you find most awkward, Rose?
Oh, because Rose is very like tidy and like keeps her woods polished in the chateau and things like that. She's like picking at like some old paint that's just kind of like near the door frame and doesn't really want to go inside. It's just kind of like absentmindedly picking at the paint and like uncovering the wood beneath and like imagining what this could actually look like if it was taken care of better.
Winifred, you have hidden something on board Olivia's boat. What is it and where is it?
I have hidden something. Okay. Winifred dearly loves Olivia. However, she's not really convinced that this boat is going to stay afloat. So she's hidden a personal flotation device in one of the, like, in the back of one of the cupboards.
Always remember your PFD. When when boating, kids.
We're full of PSAs this episode.
Olivia, what was the name of your boat again?
She is called the Free Heart.
The Free Heart. The last time you took the Free Heart out, Olivia, what happened?
You know, that actually was just a few months after my Pip died, and I just took her out for one last spin. She loved the boat so much, you know, and had been a fisher person for a few years since we moved up here, really. It was one of those things where it had been a few months, and I hadn't started up the engine. You know, you're supposed to start up engines every so often and make sure they get their paces, just like people, really. And I really just took her around the bay. I took her kind of around the point to the far side of the lighthouse. Kind of went up the coast a little bit, felt the wind in my face. Really just enjoyed watching the gulls. I saw some terns. I saw a black-backed gull, which was really interesting. And then I turned and took her back down the coast, past the town, a little bit further south, past the wildlife preserve, and looked at the shore birds and turned the engine off and just kind of sat out there in the ocean for a while. I thought about scattering Pip's ashes out there, but couldn't bring myself to. They're still there on the shelf above the sink in the kitchen, above that window there. And I brought her back to the dock and I said to myself, well, you know, she and I, these old biddies, we can stay here and let ourselves sink slowly into the water together.
You're rummaging around, you come up with a few flashlights, even a few batteries that might not be too old. Anything else you want to do here at the boat while all three of you are here?
So I've got my toolbox in my truck, so I don't need tools per se.
Did you still want to go back to your place for other stuff?
No, if we're just going to cut the power, I think we're good to go. Flashlights, I mean, I feel like maybe some candles would actually be a good idea and not for any, you know, mystical pentagram purposes.
No, I don't have those. You don't have those on ship. But I have a few more flashlights here. Let me see. I think I have this big old mag light over here. I always said if someone tried to break in, I would hit him with it, but nobody ever did. Here you go, Winnie.
Thank you.
Rope, crowbar, I don't know.
Oh, I've got a crowbar, but rope would be excellent.
I've got a fisherman's net. I mean, it's tied up in a net form, but we could use it as a rope if we...
And you do still have that, so it wasn't taken as evidence during the whole incident at the meeting, the big reveal.
Do we want any kind of anything to tie over our faces, maybe? Do we think that's going to be necessary? I have some kerchiefs.
Couldn't hurt.
All right, here's a blue one. Here's
it could be the bookish bandits.
Oh, the bookish bandits. I like that very much. This one used to be red, but it's kind of faded out to a kind of a lovely pink. Do you want it, Rose?
Sure. And, like, she immediately, like, ties it up over her head and under her chin and is like, we're so old, what are they going to do? Are they really going to lock us up? But at least we can be stylish.
Morgan Freeman comes on as a as a narrator and says, as it turns out, they would. With your gear all ready to go, all of the things prepared, everybody somehow managing to have changed into all black clothing. But with quite colorful scarves over your mouths and or eyes, depending, or just over your hair, in the case of Rosanna.
It's like a turtleneck, and like pulls the turtleneck halfway up her face with the with the pink bandana over her hair.
With the pink bandana.
You get out of Winifred's truck, not too far away from Galen Rogers's literary shop.
Literary shoppy, that's what it's called.
What do you do?
Well, should we find the... I look at the back of a building. I don't remember how electricity works in buildings. It's in a box. Is it the breaker box?
Well, the breaker box would be inside, but no doubt it's the power comes in right next to the meter.
Okay, so we need to find the meter.
Yes, I'll be right back. And she gets like... wire cutters with rubber handles, not wire cutters, but like hedge trimmers with rubber handles out of her toolbox. Bolt cutters, that's the word I'm looking for.
Bolt cutters.
I guess I'll see if there's a back door to the shop. Try and locate it.
All right. You are looking for the back door and for the power that goes into the building. It is not difficult to find a back door. There are back doors, perhaps suspiciously, perhaps not, on nearly every building in Lazarus Bay. But to find the breaker box and to effectively cut the power, not the breaker box, but the, you know,
the other thing,
the power conduit that goes into the building, and do that without suffering harm, you're going to need to do a night move, because every move is a night move now. And so whoever's doing this, I do need to know what you fear will happen if you fail or if you lose your nerve.
Winnie is afraid that there will be that sort of nasty, waspish electric hum, and she'll get blown back away from the building and, like, crack her head open on a light pole or something.
That's pretty bad. But, of course, this is a night move, so it gets worse. Not only would Winnie be blown backwards, comically, uncomically.
You get that, like, skeleton outline, like in a cartoon.
But, one, we would see Winnie fly through the air, smash against the wall on the other side of the alley, slide down, smoking, her clothes having burned, you know, to blackened cinders. Hard to tell because they're already black, but the smell of it filling the alleyway, as the rest of you just know that no one could have survived that. But worse, just at that moment, police lights shine at the end of the alley as someone from the sheriff's department was driving by and saw the flash of light.
Okay, because I was going to say, I mean, Rose hasn't, like, taken an active interest in, like, cutting the power or finding a door. I was thinking Rose would be, like, in, like, a good, like, section looking towards, like, the main entrance down the, like, little walkway to the back alley.
Keeping a lookout?
Yeah, being a lookout.
Sure, so Rose is a lookout, Olivia has found the back door, and Winifred has found the where the power goes into the building. And Winifred, you need to roll your night move. I believe this is probably going to be with reason?
I was going to hope for vitality for, like,
resisting
using the bolt
being
cutters
electrocuted.
To be like,
don't forget, this is a new mystery. This is the void mystery.
Mm-hmm.
This means that anything that you have as far as your own abilities go that are only usable once per mystery, you have those available to you again.
Oh.
So I've got my MacGyver move back.
Right.
Well, so the tool bit that I was going to try and do was to use my toolbox with tools for advantage on this.
That's fine by me.
Now, don't you need to ground yourself or something?
Yells Rose from the corner where she's watching for people to come by.
I'm wearing rubber-soled shoes, and I've got the rubber-handled bolt cutters. Okay, so did we have a ruling on what I can roll with?
Yeah, if you're just going at a pure force kind of way, then yeah, vitality, definitely.
Sweet. All right.
Result of 12.
Nice.
Nice.
Massive success.
Nice. Woo! Massive success would be a great band name, by the way.
What's this look like, Winifred? Describe this to me.
Yeah, so Winifred locates the conduit, kind of peeks around one corner of the house and sees that Olivia's found the back door, and peeks around the other corner and sees that Rosanna is keeping watch. And she sort of takes a deep breath, steels herself, raises the bolt cutters, and in one smooth motion, just closes them. And there's an arc and a flash, but no harm done.
And the power goes out, Galen Rogers' literary bookshoppy, and both the front door and the back door swing open.
I knew he would have a security system. Come on, ladies, let's go in.
In. Going in. Instantly flipping on the flashlight as soon as I'm inside. So you kind of have that, like, should we draw the curtains or anything?
Oh, probably so. That's a great idea.
Make sure all the shades are closed, close the doors behind us, get the front door, the back door.
I'm going to go to his sales counter and see if he has a list of books in the store, like a list of merchandise. See if any titles catch my eye.
Olivia, as you go to do that, you are for a moment, as the last of the curtains get closed, and right before someone switches on a flashlight, in absolute utter darkness. And in that utter darkness, you see a light, and then you see several points of light. Torches, in fact. You see 7 torches in a circle, almost like a crown.
Are they inside the shop?
And then somebody turns a flashlight on, and you realize that those lights were not here in this space. This is one of those weird visions that you get, almost like at the beginning of every episode of the TV show.
Bringing our void clues to 8.
Do you ladies know what this reminds me of?
Does it remind you of Amanda Delacourt?
Everything reminds me of Amanda Delacourt.
Is it the premiere novel, Death in Duluth?
That was an excellent one. I was thinking about the one where she had to look into the shady dealings around the furniture store.
Was that one As You Wouldn't Like It?
Yes, that's what it was called. Thank you. And she had to break into the furniture store. And although, of course, it was much simpler for her because she's a fictional protagonist.
Remind me what she was looking for in that store.
She was searching for, it was a smuggled Spanish treasure, I believe.
Oh, now I remember the book. Yeah.
It was being hidden in the throw pillows. Remember the terrible throw pillows? They said live, laugh, love. And she had to slash apart the laugh one to find the treasure.
Yes, and a golden skull rolled out of it.
Yes, that was an incredible moment. I was actually thinking of the moment before that. She had to figure out which cushion the treasure was in, because she didn't even know it was a cushion at all. And so she had to find the manifests of all the furniture and look at the weight of them and the weight that they said they were and the weight that they were recorded as being upon receipt at the store and find out which ones weighed more than they should have.
That sounds heavy, dude.
When I read that, I thought she was going to pull out a sword and just spin herself around with her eyes closed and say, "Father, guide my sword." But that's not what happened.
That was a different book.
How do you hope to use this reference to an Amanda Delacourt mystery? A gold crown mystery.
Take a 12 plus to a single relevant role or state a fact about the current situation that the keeper must incorporate. Oh, the role has to be relevant.
There's a really obviously cat-related occult book in the, like, card catalog.
You know, I was in the shop earlier looking at books that were like in the display case behind the counter. I could have noticed a really obvious cat themed occult book in the display case next to it.
Interestingly, that book was done up as almost a novelty kind of book. It was made as if it were a cat pillow that the cat would lay down upon.
With jeweled tassels, as befits a member of the dominant race.
Indeed. You go over to that case, and you realize that the glass case is locked. What do you do?
Winnie, do you have any lock picks?
Winnie just takes the bolt cutters and smashes the glass.
No, oh, that'll work too. Really efficient lockpicks you have.
I call these bolt cutters lockpicks.
Also effective.
You clear away the broken glass and you pull out a book called The Lore of Cats.
We have this moment where we all like huddle up around it and are looking at it with our flashlights staring down at it, and you see the light reflected in our faces with all 3 of our heads huddled over it.
All 4. Moonshine peers down as well.
Oh, Moonshine, you're of course eminently in a position to judge such a work of literary finesse. What do you think?
A
little bit of purring and nuzzles against my head while she's perched on my shoulder.
At first you think the sound comes from Moonshine, but then you realize that Moonshine can't make the sound of a shotgun peeing rack. And then Galen Rogers' voice from the stairs says, "Why, who's there? I say I've got a gun."
I turn my flashlight off.
Yeah, I shine the flashlight in his eyes and try to pitch my voice really deep. It's Sheriff Lilo.
It's Sheriff Lilo.
All right, Winifred, you get to make all the rolls tonight.
Oh, my God.
So this is a night move. And what are you worried will happen if you lose your nerve or if things go badly?
I don't know how many ounces of double-aught buck will smash my teeth through the back of my head.
Oh, no.
Yes, but it's worse than that. Galen will just keep firing.
Oh, God.
And unfortunately, Winifred is... again, thrown backwards in this scene, almost to our audience, our viewers, appearing that maybe this episode is doomed as far as Winifred is concerned, because Winifred keeps dying in these flash-forward scenes.
Well, she was criticized for being a little bit milquetoast in her worries before.
But that's not the worst that can happen here. The worst that can happen is that as Galen descends the stairs, you see in the quick burst of the flashlight before Winifred is blown backwards that he is not alone, but that other people are behind him and all are wearing strange masks.
No, not the bunny people.
This isn't season two. But yes, they're all wearing bunny masks.
Oh my God. Listen, you get mobbed by bunny people once, you're traumatized for life.
Okay. Is it presence to like spook Galen into ducking instead of blowing my brains out?
I think so, yes.
All right. Well, it's a mild success.
He is not going to blast you away, but the complication here being that as you say this, and as he says, "Lilo," and as you all are trying to figure out what to do next and where to run, you do see more figures descending the stairs. Would you like to put on a void crown?
Okay, so that brings us to the pallid mask. Hereafter, during any intimate conversation with another character, you must make a casual reference to death. Dying, the afterlife, or the end of all things. No matter the subject at hand.
That makes it a full success. He comes down, he goes, "Well, Lilo, what are you doing in my shoppy?"
Damn it, now I have to do this voice.
Do it, Eric.
"We're requisitioning some evidence. We've got to go now."
"What are you talking about?"
"It's to prevent the emergence of a very problematic dark being. Goodbye."
And you grab the book and you run. From behind somewhere you hear, "Wait a minute." But you are already barreling out the door and down the block to your truck, followed quickly by Rosanna and Olivia.
Incredible.
Yeah, and I guess... probably when he's driving, somebody's deciphering the cat book with a flashlight.
Sure.
That would be you then, Olivia. You are flipping through the pages of The Lore of Cats.
The Lore of Cats.
And you see that each page does not have a lot of writing on it. It's very highly illustrated with lots of cats around the edges of the text. A lot of poetry. There appears to be... some references to Mr. Mistopheles in there. You also see references to the different kinds of cats. The scrapper,
the two-footologist, the cat-crobat, the tiger-dreamer, and others. Someone appears to have taken a great deal of time to examine, watch, analyze the lives of cats. As you are proceeding along with this, you do in fact see some strange rituals in the book. Rituals that at first look like recipes, but then you realize that they are not. They are some sort of ritualistic performance that must be made.
This says we have to create something called Meow Mix.
Oh, God.
Is the incantation meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow. Anyway, it politely asks us to deliver whatever this is.
Chicken? Liver?
It's not chicken. It's not liver. It requires a magical fish.
Oh. Oh, my. It requests the magical fish. He did say if we needed his help, we could simply call him.
Winifred, as you are driving down the street, you see figures watching you from the shadows. Cloaked figures.
When did everyone in this town get a cloak?
Yes. And where's mine? They look so fashionable and warm.
But all of them do appear to be wearing bunny masks.
No! I've made a terrible mistake.
We might need to make this happen quickly. I say that I simply crash through the front door of the Cozy Kitten, and we pile out and do what we need to do.
Oh, okay. Should we start reciting this in the car before we get there?
Well, do we have...
What else do we need?
We need the fish. Olivia, you have your net.
Just the fish.
An iron skillet. You'll need...
There's a skillet upstairs with the burned bacon in it.
You'll need a certain very specific set of herbs and spices. You will need fur from cats.
Mm-hmm.
A cat or lots of cats?
Any cat will do.
Okay. That's a whole different musical.
Sweeney Todd, the cat musical.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, you are headed toward the Cozy Kitten at speed.
Well, there should be cat fur there, and there's also a skillet upstairs. We just need these... herbs and spices. Does anyone have a lunchbox in here or anything? I start opening the glove box and, like, looking under the seat.
Are they the kinds of spices you'd find in Fizzy's kitchen?
Maybe. He was kind of a, what do you call it, a gourmand.
As you get to within 100 feet or so of the Cozy Kitten, you find yourself driving down the road that leaves Lazarus Bay on the other side of town.
Winnie, are we on the right road?
Did we just, like, void shift?
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
You tell us.
It was me thinking of what it would be called if we just, like, teleported.
Yes, it appears that you might have done what is now being called void shifting.
This isn't the right way. Turn around, Winnie.
Tools, like slide around in the back.
Yeah.
With a great squealing of tires, the
hold on to moonshine
swerves, heads back into town.
Hey, Rose, if we can't collect any fur from the cats inside the shop, could you just start petting moonshine and get a fistful of shed fur from her? If all else fails, we could use that.
We could also just take my cardigan, because it's full of cat fur anyway.
There we go. Absolutely.
We flash forward to all of you completing the ritual and everyone turning into a sweater.
What the?
That's just what knitting is like, baby.
Well, this isn't going to work. And I start, like, I pull out, like, a Furminator, like a de-shedding comb for a cat, and I just start brushing moonshine like crazy, and I'm, like, pulling off all this fur and, like, wadding it into balls.
All right, what do you want to do?
Are we able to get close to the shop, or?
Not closer than 100 feet. You keep void shifting away from it. Not quite remembering if you actually drove on down the street or not, but appearing as if you had.
Is it only when we're in the car? Can we walk closer?
Right. I was going to just, like, flip, you know, to turn the car in a circle and just say, I don't think we can get any closer, ladies. Let's go on foot.
All right.
As you walk back toward the Cozy Kitten, you see a couple of figures moving out of the shadows and moving toward you, their hands underneath their robes, as if they are clutching weapons.
Can I grab my welding mask out of the back of the truck before
Holy shit.
Yes.
Before we go. Okay, perfect.
But then you're walking on the other side of the block down toward the tea house.
I don't think it works on foot either.
Flippy!
We might need to go somewhere else for the spell. Do you remember the fish said we needed to cast the spell to get into the Cozy Kitten in the first place?
So how do we get away from these guys? Let's go. In the tea house.
Sure.
Since you proposed that, Rose, this is a night move as you attempt to get away from your pursuers who are now number 4, maybe 6. All of whom are now pulling out weapons, a harpoon gun, a crossbow, a small pistol, and a shovel.
Oh no, not the shovel.
When he chokes up on the maglite.
Rosanna, I think this is going to be a composure.
Straight, advantage, disadvantage.
Do you have anything you would like to use for advantage, including your cat Moonshine?
Yeah, use Moonshine.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to take a quick little shot out of my flask and pass it around as we run.
As you take a sip from your flask, please give me the advertisement for the moonshine that you have within.
There's like a cool breeze blowing across a beautiful like rose garden, and it like focuses in on the chateau.
For all your distilling needs, enjoy this special blend.
And then you see the cat cuddled up like around like a nice like bottle of like clear distilled liquid. And you just see Rosanna sitting back in one of her nice comfy chairs just sipping at it.
Moonshine by Rosanna.
There's like beautiful harp sounds.
Okay, mark it and roll with advantage.
And you said composure.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't see what that was.
It is a 10. Great success.
Oof.
Yay!
This is at night, so I don't know if the tea house is actually going to be open.
You were definitely worried about that, even though we didn't do the whole what would you be worried would happen. What we see, you know, the bad thing that could have happened to you all here, which is you get to the door of the tea house, but it's locked, and behind you, the 6 cultists close in on you, chanting behind their bunny masks as they lift their weapons or point them at you, and then we fade to black as all we hear are gunshots and the sound of bludgeoning. But
shovel bludgeoning.
Instead, you reach for the door of the tea house, and it opens and lets you into a warm and cozy place with light shining from the bulbs above. Several of your friends and neighbors in here sipping tea, all of whom, you know, look toward you and go, oh, hello, Rose. Oh, hello, Olivia. Hey there, Winifred.
Hi, darling. You're looking great. We just need to go to the bathroom really quick.
Hello.
I like force them towards the bathroom.
You all get squeezed into the single person bathroom.
I don't see how we're going to find a cast iron skillet in here.
Oh, we need the skillet.
That's a good point. Also, the herbs and spices.
We're in the tea house.
Yes, they offer baked goods. They'll have some herbs and spices.
And maybe even some kind of cast iron, like, utensil to cook things in for their cakes and stuff.
It specifies a skillet, but you know they did that promotion last month with those little tiny skillets, and they cooked a cookie in there and put a dollop of ice cream on top.
Oh, like the blondies at Applebee's. Those are so good.
I bet they still have some of those around. Let's go find them.
Okay.
I'll guard the door.
What I see here is a scene where you all three stick your head out the door, just right out the door
vertically
of the
from
bathroom.
Each other. Yeah.
And say to the barista,
say, do you happen to have any of those little cast iron skillets that you used for the cookie promotion last month?
Oh, why, yes, we do.
Could we borrow one, please?
In the bathroom?
Yes. We need it.
Actually, I'll come grab it. I just wanted to take a look at your herbs and spices also. What do we need specifically?
Specifically, you need to make a,
another night move?
A presence roll.
It looks like we need basil and cardamom. Oh, star anise, that's a toughie. And, black pepper, that should be easy.
And cardboard and lace.
And cardboard and lace.
Powdered. And...
molasses, weirdly enough.
Does it seem like it'd be normal herbal fare in a tea house?
And cayenne, of all things. Just a little bit.
Why do you have to do that? Stop adding to it.
Interestingly, they're going to have what you need. Mm. If you can persuade the barista that you're not insane. So, Rose, give me a presence roll. Despite being in the bright lights of the tea house here, surrounded by people, this is still a night move. Danger is very, very close. So what are you worried will happen if this goes south?
The rabbit people will come in while we're trying to gather all these ingredients.
Indeed. And not only do they come in, but they start killing people left and right.
Oh, God.
No.
The barista puts on a rabbit mask.
Oh, no.
Indeed.
Ah.
Exactly that. And the barista... with the rabbit mask now on, takes a couple of boiling hot coffee. What are those things called that you make coffee in?
A teapot?
Percolator. Percolator.
Take two boiling hot coffee percolators and just toss the liquids in your faces.
Oh, geez.
You know, we actually need that for the recipe. I'm kidding.
Rose, make your night move with presents.
Oh. 10.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Oh.
I'm sweating over here.
Yeah.
The barista goes, okay, sure. I mean, they're kind of small because they're these tiny little muffin-sized cast iron things. She gives you a handful of them.
It's like for the pizzukis at BJ's.
Here's our box of spices. You can use whatever you need. Just, I guess, clean up after yourselves?
Yes, we will. I say, knowing full well that if we succeed in our cats, that will be a lie.
Well, we really don't want to take these into the bathroom. Can we just go into the back kitchen and do it and like mix our stuff up there?
Do you have a food handler's certification?
Actually, yeah.
You know, I actually do.
I have that and my OLCC and everything. Because I host at the chateau, so I figure I would have that.
I used to be a fisherwoman. Those things last for like 12 years. I'm sure it's still valid.
Yeah, I don't know that your OLCC, your Oregon Liquor Control.
How about LBLCC, Lazarus Bay
Liquor Commission.
So, yes, you're allowed back into the kitchen. A small space, but clean. A back door, a couple of windows. Curtains over them. You start up the stove and you follow the directions, but you're going to need, wow, that most hard and difficult thing, a magical fish.
What was the wording that he used? It was like, hey, fish, come help us out.
Hey, everybody.
Ah, there you are.
What's happening? And the fish appears on the counter, you know, nearby, standing up, kind of stand sitting. On its back fin.
Be ready to net him.
I'm picturing this like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where he's animated, but we're live action.
I'm actually picturing like a throwback, like a Fizzy actually trying this exact same thing.
Oh my God.
And that's what got Fizzy in trouble. Like a flashback to Fizzy trying to cook up the same thing that we're doing right now.
Oh, I thought you meant trying to be a fish. I was
like, you know what it sounds like you're doing?
Fizzy tried to compete with the Muppets or something.
It sounds like you're making a void mystery theorizing.
Yeah. Do you think that this is what Fizzy was trying to do? I mean,
do you know?
There was that smell.
There was that smell.
And the cast iron.
I thought it was burned bacon, but maybe it was trout.
Maybe he just had the wrong ingredients.
He didn't have the book. It was in Galen's shoppy. He didn't have the book. He didn't have the ingredients.
And he was frying bacon instead of fish.
Oh, but he had lots of cat hair.
Okay. So, we know that Flippy here was warning you, Olivia, that it's coming. Which
yes.
I guess is apparently...
My name's not Flippy.
What is it?
What, my name?
Yes.
Well, I don't really have a name, I just have sort of a classification.
Would you...
You wonder what kind of fish I am?
Yes.
What kind of fish are you?
I'm the Harrow Havana.
Oh my god.
I'm out.
Okay.
I'm gone. Goodbye.
That was
oh,
incredible.
Wow.
Well, that made me feel great about what we need here tonight.
What's that? I mean, I've tried to be as helpful as I could. It's difficult from where I am.
Did it say how we use the fish in this ritual?
Oh, yeah, you gotta eat the fish.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's sautéing.
We really hate to do this to a fish of your stature.
Throw the net!
I also have a piece of seaweed from Angie Happen. That was another void clue.
Okay, so if we're theorizing...
So the void clues are seven points of light in a circle like a crown. We had the fact that Fizzy's shop had already been sold to Kane Corporation. We had a TV with static. Tentacles came out of it and there was screams in the static. I had a dream with a seagull with a fish in its mouth and the fish said, "It will be everything." I have a piece of seaweed from Angie Happen. In more TV static, we had the fish moonwalk across the screen and say, "It's coming." We had the rock that bled green goo. We had the green ichor, the blood pie, and the fish flops on deck and says, "It's coming."
And Cindy Louise's admission that they were trying to raise him, Kane, from the deep.
You have to somehow weave all of those together. And some of this you already know. You need to now articulate it, I guess.
Oh.
Right, well, I think it's pretty obvious. Kane Corporation is buying the bookshop, the Cozy Kitten, because it's the place with this connection, and there's going to be some kind of a ceremony with the seven torches in a extra pointy pentacle, a septicle?
A septicle! that sounds awful. Anyway.
And it's to raise Kane.
It's going to come from the ocean, or else why would there be so much fish imagery and tentacles?
Yes, okay. Definitely. And then it will burst from the ocean in a tentacly mass that will destroy reality itself.
That could be a metaphor.
And the rock was, did it seem more like an egg type of thing that this might emerge from?
Oh, maybe so.
I think that the ichor might be the energy that's coursing through...
The very structure of the town itself, yes.
That is activated by this ritual.
And I think the TV static is crucial, too, because, LJ, Sloshy, this isn't a reality like it has been in the past. This is formatted like a TV show, and I think the static is significant. The fact that it's a television series is significant to us. I think that what is going to happen here is going to break...
So instead of reading between the lines, we gotta look between the stations?
Perhaps. Yes. Absolutely. So I think I'm going to mark the TV static as well.
Well, it could be that, you know, when you put a set of lines, a line grid in front of a television with static, it sorts it all out into something that makes sense.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
We might be going a little extra on the theorizing. How many did we get? How many of those did we incorporate?
We use the torches too, right? That yeah. there will be something with seven. Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 void clues that we've used. The only one that I couldn't find a place for was the blood pie.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out anything for that either.
It'll be a surprise.
Well, like that could speak to the content of what they're doing down there, that they've got to do some sort of a sacrifice with cow innards, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it
blood
was.
And cow organs, yeah.
Blood and cow organs.
Who did the most theorizing? Who wants to roll this?
I feel like it's got to be Olivia.
Yeah.
Sure. Are we counting the blood pie?
No, I don't think we incorporated it.
Once you put everything in, you'll be at -1 if you can't incorporate the blood pie.
I feel like the sacrifice element of the ritual, you know, seems like it's a strong connection.
We can say there will be a blood sacrifice, and that's specifically the inciting thing that we need to halt.
Start putting in the numbers. So the way this works, Sojourners, is that this is a difficulty of 8. So if they had only come up with 4 clues and then not been able to use any of them in their actual theorizing, they would be rolling a straight up roll at -8. But since they have managed to incorporate 8 clues, those balance out, and this will just be a straight roll.
All right, so it says input value, number of clues found, 8. Mystery complexity, also 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, submit. Okay, 7 for a mild success. The solution is correct, but the keeper will either add on complicated or dangerous opportunity to take down the culprit or save the day.
You mean like turning ourselves into cats?
It's already pretty dangerous. I mean.
Now, you can raise a theorize to the next success level, but you all have to put on a crown.
Oh, wow. I have a lot of crowns left. I don't know about you guys. Eric, it sounds like you don't have that
one
many.
One crown left before, so I can take one more crown, but the one after that is my character goes
kaput.
Yeah.
Or retired, I think, is the
Lost to the void.
Oh, okay. That's nicely ambiguous.
And the void crowns go in order, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I will put on my crown.
But that said, you don't have to raise this to the next level up. I mean, you can leave it with there will be complications. There's going to be complications anyway. But solving the void mystery in the Brindlewood Bay RPG kind of means that you're going to get the opportunity, but it's a dangerous opportunity at this rate, which sounds reasonable, actually, to me.
I feel like I could go either way, like, because we're already kind of dangerous. And so I feel like, I mean, the opportunity is already kind of dangerous, I feel like. So it'd be great if it was less dangerous than it has to be, you know? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, like, it'd be great if it did not become more dangerous than it already is. But, you know, Eric's the one that has used the most crowns, so
yeah,
I'll go with whatever. Because I think Jesse and I are just at the first void crown.
Yeah, and I mean, I did this specifically to live on the edge, so I have no problem with taking that leap.
So it won't get more dangerous. What we would have seen was that as the spell goes off, as you have figured out the way to thwart all of this by becoming cats, your maven bodies begin to dissolve and the flesh just sluices off of them. And we see the bones beneath, and then the bones crack and crumble. And the mavens just collapse, and from their remnants rise cat.
That's so rad.
But the mavens would be no more, and you don't know what that means in the ultimate scheme of things of reality, such as it is.
Well, goodbye, ladies. I'll see you in...
Nice.
But by putting on, each of you putting on a crown of the void, you bring that up to a much better success. Now, you all turn and look at the fish. Hey, everybody!
I thought we were eating the fish.
Well, not yet. You were just theorizing.
Okay.
Wait, eat me? What?
Forget I said anything.
I have bad news for you.
No, don't. The net!
What kind of bad news?
Well, in order for the spell that you yourself remember suggested for us, we need a magical fish as a crucial component.
Holy carp!
Oh, man. I thought you were a halibut.
Oh, my God.
I'm a Hero Havanas.
Holy carp. Can that be our next t-shirt?
You mean I need to, I don't know, like moonwalk or something?
I'm afraid not.
Catch him. Get the fish.
You said you would help us. You said you would help us in whatever way we needed.
I did. It's true. I don't know what this will mean. Like in the real world, but okay.
All right.
This seems so weird. Do you know any other magical fish that could help us?
Do you have a brother?
Yes, throw him under the bus.
No, there's not like a society of magical fish.
Winnie palms a knife.
All right, you don't have eyelids. Do you want me to cover your eyes?
Yes, please.
All right, I cover the fish's eyes, and I don't count down out loud because that'd be rude. And I behead the fish.
Save the head.
All right, you behead the Hero Havanas.
Oh, man.
And begin to cook according to the recipe.
Oh, man.
It's disgusting looking and disgusting. But the fish smells fine. The fish smells good. The spices smell pretty good. The burning cat hair leaves a little to be desired.
Yeah.
Just a little.
You know, I was kind of hoping that it would smell like whiskey or something, given her name.
The barista sticks her head in and goes, "What's that smell?"
"Just a little something."
"Are you cooking fish back here?"
"Yes."
"In those tiny little pans? What are you?"
"It's a little fish."
"It's single serving. It's haute cuisine."
"We only need a mouthful." "Oh."
"It's so much more substantial than those weird little bubbles they serve you in French restaurants."
"Don't worry. After we're done, we can toast up some nice, lovely anise seeds and some tea leaves so that we can flush the smell out of here. I'll go ahead and roll it."
"So what are you concerned will happen?"
"Concerned that they won't really..." "Yeah, that they'll be like, no, 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 you can't do that here. You're going to drive away the customers kind of thing and make us stop immediately and like turn off the stoves and like dump everything as soon as possible and try and get it out the door before we can finish."
"Sure." In fact, she would start to say all those things and then a long blade would appear from her chest from behind as someone behind her stabs her and then tosses the body aside, leaving only standing there a hooded figure wearing a bunny mask.
No!
Because this is a night move. So make your night move with presence.
Give me a moment. I'm looking at crowns. Night move, presence, no advantage or disadvantage.
You can if you want.
No, I can't think of a way to work the kitty into it, and I don't have the other things with me.
Look how cute my kitty is.
I know, right? Isn't it adorable?
The cat rubs her legs right at the right moment to distract her.
What was it?
9, mild success.
Do you want to raise it to full success?
I'll put on a crown. The chariot, reason modifier is reduced by 1, and your sensitivity modifier is increased by 1. So reduce reason by 1, increase my sensitivity by 1.
How do you see this happening as you have to pull on some sort of supernatural power almost in order to convince the barista that this is all cool?
It's very similar to how you like make scapulas. So I like pull what? Out like
shoulder blades.
How you make scapulas?
No. The bags of like herbs and like trinkets that like witches use to ward off spirits.
I've never heard of a word for that.
I've heard them called sachets.
Like a sachet. So I pull out like one that I've created that I use just as like an aromatic thing that I'll hang around my neck sometimes when I'm doing work in the distillery. And it's like, and it'll smell a little bit like this. And I let her like take a whiff of this sachet, this collection of specific herbs and dried flowers with a weird undertone of like an earthy scent, like almost rotten, but more fungal than rotten, that really pleases the palate. And I present it and just let her smell it.
Oh. Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Okay, awesome. I got to get back out front, but yeah, just do what you said to get rid of the fishy smell after you're done, eh?
Will do.
I take offense at that, says the fish head from the...
Oh, God! Oh!
We still gotta eat the fish. Oh, my God.
I cup the fish head in my hands, and I'm like, can you still talk to us?
Well, not real well, because I don't have any...
Oh, God! What have I done?
We've got to keep going.
I grab like a large bag of salt and stick the head into the salt to try and preserve it.
Oh.
Winnie, you think it's about done?
Okay, just a little bit more of the spice. Yes, a little bit of that. Okay, it's, yep, I think we're there, ladies.
A little finishing salt.
Maybe. Eat up.
Just to make sure I follow up on what we said we would do, as that is finishing up before... Like, we've completed the ritual, I start the burning of, like, some of the tea leaves and other herbs to kind of, like, blow out the smell.
So when we turn into cats and can't do it anymore, we don't leave them hanging.
Yeah, real low on the stove so it's not in danger of burning anything down.
Yep.
While we turn into cats. All right. I pass out forks with the fish recipe on them. Cheers.
You each take a bite, and as the really quite subtle flavors flow through, and in fact, the way that it cooked, even the cat hair isn't like hair. It's more like tender noodles. Tender noodles.
So grossed out right now.
Oh my god. Like the finest of angel hair.
Indeed. Chewy. And
oh god.
And you feel something changing within you. The spirit that is Dr. Grace, LJ, Sloshy, the soul, the essence, passes out of our maven bodies. The mavens all limply collapse to the floor.
Like, as a last thing, Rosanna would love to say to Moonshine, just make sure we get to Fizzy's.
And the last thing you hear from Moonshine is, I'll do what I can. At the same time, we see the back door of the tea shop burst open and fill with figures, cloaked figures, wearing bunny masks. But LJ, Sloshy, Dr. Grace, you are no longer there. You are elsewhere in Lazarus Bay, inhabiting the bodies of cats, but in different places. So let's get introduced to the cats we're going to be playing in part two of this season, Cats of Cthulhu RPG. LJ, what's your cat?
So, like, you totally see this cat that's lounging on this luxurious, like, very fine, like, 3,000 thread count pillow in the mayor's house. This beautiful Russian blue just lounging on this very fancy pillow. Just look around and kind of, like, look down at themselves and, like, get that, like, startled jump that cats get, you know? And just like, dude, wait, I am Russian? Dude, this is crazy.
Dr. Grace, what's your cat?
A row of dark houses stands along the street. These are old, classic Cape Cod houses. And as you zoom in to one of the houses, you see on the very roof a widow's walk. And upon the balustrade on one of those widow's walks, railings outlined against the moon, a long, slender body of a short-haired cat, a mixed breed. Looks like there's maybe some oriental short hair in there. Pointy ears, a long face, and smoke-dark fur. I am the night. I am Ceiling Cat.
And Slushy.
The camera would, like, kind of zoom into an alley and stop as we see sort of trash, like, you know, being thrown out of a fallen over trash can. And then all of a sudden it stops. And out of the trash can emerges a gigantic tortoise shell alley cat, indeterminate breed, short haired, scarred heavily, one eye, like almost scarred shut, but still functional. And it just looks really annoyed. I mean, it's gone beyond resting bitch face to active bitch face. and we hear, well, I'll be a humdinger. I keep getting put into these stupid shapes.
And we'll find out what happens next time when we play Cats of Cthulhu RPG on the Gothic Podcast.
Oh my god.
The Gothic Podcast is a horror and humor actual play audio drama produced by Goblin Brook Manor, LLC. Season 5 of The Gothic Podcast stars C. Patrick Nagel, Sharon Gallery LaFournaise, Jesse Baldwin, and Eric Halbert. Our theme music is by Zoe Hovland, and our logo is by Jared George Art. Liking, sharing, and reviewing us on iTunes really helps us get more listeners. And please consider supporting us on our Patreon or joining the conversation on our Discord channel. Links and more in the show notes. Thanks for joining us in the dark, Sojourners. Thank you.
breaking into the bookshop?
Mm-hmm. Wait, let me use my real guy voice. Yep. It's how it kind of came out. As sentient sweaters, you attempt to save the world.
Oh my god.
All of the book verses and all of the universes.
Rolling with the night moves.
Working on a night moves.